everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program. It is the Tuesday edition, 4-4, April 4th, 2017. Hope the week is off to a pretty good start for you. The live line number is 790-2040. Let's get right to our monthly visit with Terry Bracey. Terry is one of two dozen contributors that we are just so honored to have on our program. Delighted to have Terry. He is our expert on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs. He's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents, among other clients that they have. Certainly, they've got some great clients, including the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm just great.
Well,
I'm just great.
Is there any bad weather for any of these opening baseball games? I know the Nationals have begun. The Cubs are off to, I think they lost their first two.
Yeah. Well, we had our opener here yesterday, and it was great. Worked out great. We won 4-2 over the Marlins. But yeah, I'm surprised the Cubs lost to the Cards, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very hard to repeat. So you know,
well, it really is, isn't it? That's the hardest thing in the world to do.
And all the excitement of the Cubs finally winning. It's going to be a tough one from a point of view emotionally, I think, to get up to try to do it two in a row, but we'll certainly be hoping. Terry, so much chaos in Washington these days, and it seems it's very hard to tell what exactly of importance has happened with this new administration. Give us some of your perspective on that.
Well, sure. Let me try it. First, Bill, I'll stipulate that notwithstanding a lot of the criticisms, many of them just, that are made of the Trump government, it's still very early, and his failure is not written in stone by any means. I think there have been maybe four important developments since we last spoke last month. First, Bill, of course, is this Russia mess, which many actions of all these players are being conflated. And I think it's important to point out, one, that there's nothing wrong with a president-elect opening back doors to Russia or any other country. Most presidents do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nor is it wrong for any of his assigned agents to do so. So all those stories, I think, so far have come to not much. What is wrong and potentially impeachable is if, as a candidate, President Trump in any way conspired or any of his people conspired with a foreign enemy to defeat his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so far, there's been no evidence that the president himself has been involved in this, and maybe there never will be. But, you know, the president isn't doing himself any favors by failing to produce any evidence of his innocence so that this, really destructive matter can go away.
Yeah, and it is kind of an elephant in the room right now, the whole Russia mess. What else is important to you? What's number two?
Well, of course, number two is the collapse of the health care bill. And this was a real rookie mistake. And Bill, I have to say that Speaker Ryan did the president no favors here. Had Trump or his staff had any experience in the legislative process, they would have never started their program with a wildly controversial plan that even the president didn't understand. To try to jam through in a few days a complicated bill like this in the face of opposition from the doctors, the nurses, the insurance companies, the hospitals, it was an impossibility. And what it did was expose the divisions within the Republican Party and led to the third important development, I think.
And that probably has something to do with this whole controversy surrounding the Freedom Caucus, the so-called Freedom Caucus.
Indeed it does. The Freedom Caucus, which is really a very right-wing group, approved that They have no loyalty to the president. And importantly, what that has done is put the Democrats back in play. If President Trump is smart as advertised, he'll soon conclude that he can't win big objectives with Republicans alone. If he comes to the table with Democrats, he could well get his infrastructure program, get some help on tax reform. Who knows? But if he kind of tries to stick with the Republicans alone, he isn't going to get anywhere. To get the Democrats, he's going to have to dial way back on his cuts on domestic programs. And we'll see if he goes along, because the moment is coming very soon when they have to extend the debt, which is a very tough vote. And it always requires members of both parties to do it. So we'll see.
And, of course, the Supreme Court, potential Supreme Court nominee, this is a huge issue, too.
Yeah, that's fourth of the important things that have happened since we last talked. It's fourth and really the most important. The confirmation of Judge Gorsuch, I have a hard time.
Gorsuch.
Yeah, pronouncing the name. I met his mother, who used to run EPA under President Reagan. But anyway, you know, with that, Trump would have reestablished with his confirmation, which I think is going to come one way or the other, Trump would have reestablished a conservative majority on the court, Bill. That's a big deal. And put in place a relatively young man who may serve for decades. So amidst all the chaos and criticism, Trump can really count this as a significant victory in his early presidency.
Can you explain, very simply put, Terry Bracey, what is the nuclear option we keep hearing about?
Well, it's just this. What it means is that the Senate majority would rewrite the rules of the body to effectively eliminate the filibuster. The filibuster is a strange word, but with it comes one of the key powers of the Senate, the power to delay. In order to break a filibuster under Senate rules, opponents have to have a supermajority or 60 votes. The Republicans so badly want a conservative majority on the Supreme Court that they're willing to throw away that power. And that's also a power which protects a minority. So I think if they do that, it will have a profound impact on the Senate over time and make it much more like the House of Representatives.
Terry, let me ask you about a deadline that is looming. It is the end of April, I believe, about some kind of a spending plan for our government and a possible shutdown. Is that a possibility, a government shutdown?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't think the Democrats would do that. I think he will have to get Democratic votes. That's another one where he'll have to get Democratic votes. But, you know, all in all, you know, he's gonna face one after the other, where he's got to have Democratic votes, and this will be among the first.
Well, how does this the spending plan? How is it going to impact us here in Southern Arizona? Do you think, Terry?
Well, if you believe the president's plan, it would be devastating. But I don't believe it. I think we have a very good chance to come out of this year with slight reductions, not great reductions in our programs. You have to remember that there was a deal cut in the last fiscal year, which spills into this year, which has already got pretty much programs set. Now, can you go in and rip those apart? Well, maybe to some extent. But, you know, the committees of Congress have ties to all these agencies, which they oversee. You know, there's an appropriations committee for transportation, for the Treasury, for every department of government. And those members who run those committees become advocates for those departments as they are overseers. And they're not going to walk away from their responsibilities to run those departments because somebody sends a crazy budget up. I think the real problem here is that President Trump has people acting for him, in this case, a bunch of people from the Heritage Foundation who went over to the Office of Management and Budget and got a job, and they cooked up a budget Well, I don't think he really understands what's in that budget. It would devastate the very people who he promised to protect. And I think that, I really do think that it's going to take some time, but he will come to understand that his agenda is not the agenda of the right wing. He's a builder. He's a guy who says he has a heart for the poor. And is he going to cut off energy assistance in the middle of winter like they're saying? I don't think so.
All right. Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Terry. We'll look forward to your visit with us next month. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us on The Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. So greenthingsaz.com, the place to go. Workshop coming up on edible things from the desert. That's Friday afternoon at 1 at Green Things. Check it out. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman right after this. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, the monthly showdown with commentator Sean McCluskey and David Morales, plus why the current legislative session wants to go to universal school vouchers. Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening, podcasts, and our show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I hope that consultation would be with my friend, not only because he's my friend, but the guy knows what he is talking about. Certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
I am well today, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm sure you're getting ready for your big trip.
Yeah, we should tell the audience that show will be done by us, or at least by me, from London.
Telephonically from old London town, Shelley Fishman.
And then the following three shows after that as well, I believe. So we'll be in Ireland, we'll be in Scotland, and we'll be in London taking a look at the economy, taking a look at Brexit, and trying to get a sense of the pulse of what the average Brit feels about what's going on right now.
And it's great preparation for when you are hosting one of the shows while I'll be way down under in New Zealand.
You really are letting the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, I am. But there'll be a special show on the whole Brexit.
We've got two professors from the U. Both are European nationals who are going to talk about the EU. They're going to talk about the Eurozone. They're going to talk about the history and also the effect of world trade and European trade as our primary trading partner. These are two experts in the field, and I am looking forward to that show. Of course, it's going to be 7 hours long.
Of course, right. No, there'll be plenty of material, certainly for an hour, and you could do seven. I didn't realize till we were talking before we started the segment how big a deal the student loan debt is on our economy.
Yeah, it's
huge.
It's way bigger than most people understand, and it got the attention of the New York Fed president yesterday, actually, who in a speech, William Dudley, said that it may be time to consider making college tuition free, and mainly because of the effect of the student loan debt on the economy. Now, you would expect him to take a position where he uses the economic impact to kind of drive his policy recommendations here. But right now, if you have the average outstanding student loan is over $37,000. That's $1.3 trillion in debt held by mostly young people in our economy, which means these are people who can't spend as freely as they'd like to spend and contribute to the economy. They can't buy homes. It is just really having a snowballing effect on our ability to grow the economy.
And
it
this,
is actually discouraging people
yeah.
from going to college.
It is. And getting this new generation actively involved in the economy is a problem because they are being held back by – they're saddled with, as you say, $37,000 is the average loan outstanding.
Right.
So would it be more expensive? What would it cost to give everyone free college tuition?
Well, you've got two ways of approaching solutions here. One is to deal with the debt as it stands today and find ways to ameliorate that debt so that people can not only pay it back in a way that is affordable, but make sure that the likelihood that rising interest rates over the next couple of years will somehow be spared from that. Because if those debts are floated or if they're refinanced, it just gets worse and worse. It's like not paying on your credit cards. The other approach to the problem is trying to make sure that the problem doesn't get any worse. And to do that, we have to find some way to return to the yesteryears of the 1950s and 60s and make college at state colleges and public colleges either free or much, much more affordable. You know, and I've said this before on the show, when I was entering college in the early 60s, it was free. I mean, if you went to a New York City or a New York State college or a California college or an Arizona college and you were a resident, it was virtually free to attend that college. Mm-hmm. So we need to do something to make it possible for people to get a good education and an advanced education and not be saddled with that kind of debt. And we do it not only because it's the right thing to do, but we do it because that's good for the economy. People who have college degrees or good vocational training and start off, say, in our community colleges or in our junior colleges and then can matriculate into senior colleges, they do better over time. They're better educated. And we start solving some of the problems that we have with unfillable jobs here in our own economy by not needing to import people from overseas. Keep in mind, Bill, every industrialized country, you know, we've talked about healthcare being a right in most industrialized countries, but so is a college education. Mm-hmm. If you're living in any of the industrialized countries around the world and you're graduated from high school and you want to go to college, you can. The other thing that we can do, and this is a drum I've been pounding probably for too long right now, is if we had a National Service Corps and compulsory or nearly compulsory service, one of the rewards for fulfilling that service would be a new GI Bill that would, in fact, not only allow you to go to a state school or a city school, but would allow you to use that money to go to a private school.
Wow. So it'd be basically anywhere you wanted to go if you met your grade requirements.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the reforms that are necessary to make this happen are actually, there's a bill in Congress right now that would propose that the Republicans won't. You know, let it go through. It's politically too charged right now. But I think what the president of the New York Fed, what William Dudley was trying to accomplish in raising this right now was get a discussion going around the topic, because we have, you know, the Congressional Budget Office just today came out with a revised forecast for the next 20 years, and it ain't great. What they're saying is, given the likelihood that we're going to have in the, you know, 3% or less GDP growth, the likelihood that we will exceed 100% of our GDP with debt, we're at about 70% now, but they're saying in 30 or 40 years, that could escalate to 140% of GDP and with higher interest rates. We've got to find a way to get growth going in a more lucrative and more accelerated pace. Now, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, GDP growth was typically 6% or more. It floated around there, 5 to 6%. New housing construction and new homes were that was a huge boom. The economy was growing fast, and the young people in the economy had the ability to really really spend and to build their futures in that economy. Now, I'm not suggesting that the two time periods are strictly analogous, but, you know, when you had something that worked, you know, why abandon it? I think we have a question.
Let's see if we can get Carl in here. Carl, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's so many questions about the stuff that you're commenting about, but one of the first things that pops to mind is getting the cost of colleges down. I've got a bachelor's and two master's. And the price per credit hour has just zoomed and zoomed and zoomed. And there is no excuse for it. The college professors are not making that much money. But the administrative overhead, I mean, take a look at the University of Arizona. They've got, 50 people in their public relations department? Do they need that many people? Do they need two people if they're paying $200,000 a year to for diversity? There's an awful lot of fat that can be cut, not just at the U of A, but I mean at all of the universities.
Carl, it's absolutely clear that the price of a college education today, even at the state level, at the public school level, when I say public school, I mean public college level, is disproportionately higher than it was.
Yeah.
And there's probably a lot of reasons for that, and I don't pretend to be an expert. Nevertheless, we need to figure out a way, while we're doing a whole bunch of things, bringing the prices down would be wonderful, but we have to make it more affordable for students. The idea that the average student getting a bachelor's degree today would get out of college with $30,000 or $40,000 worth of debt and no prospects for a really great job in a slow economy is just a snowball that we don't want to see. We don't want to see continue to roll down that road. He's not on the line anymore. I was going to ask him what his degrees were in and where he got them.
Yeah. Shelley, thanks for that comment. Shelley, we're going to have to run, and thank you very much. People can find out more about your work by going to buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Shelley Fishman. Safe travels to you, Shelley, as you travel across the pond.
Across the pond till next week from
London.
Next
week, we'll hear you from London. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you're thinking of a great weekend, Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. And there's so much going on over there. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the many places to stay and the many things to do. And remember, mark your calendars. Memorial Day weekend is the 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival. That is a free event. Today is a very big day for nonprofits in Arizona. Today is Arizona Gives Day. Arizona Gives Day is a 24-hour online giving effort that many local charities participate in, and people can donate today to actually more than 1,000 charities using azgives.org. And one of those charities very excited about today's Arizona Gives Day is the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. We have with us Diana Cannon. She is the Chief Development Officer, and Randy Peterson is here. Randy is the Director of Development at the Humane Society. Diana and Randy, how's it going today?
Oh, fantastic, and thank you for having us on the show today, Bill. We're off to a wonderful start on this 24-hour day of fundraising here for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, and as you mentioned, 1,000 other nonprofits statewide. Statewide, just a hair under $1.3
million. Wow.
Already raised here in just the first 12 hours of the day.
Where'd this concept come from, Diana, this Arizona Gives Day? Is it something new, or is this kind of an ongoing thing?
Well, no. Every year that happens on April 4th,
okay.
Or the first Tuesday, I should say, right. The first Tuesday of April. And it actually came together a few years ago when folks thought, gosh, this is a great way to bring people together and to allow folks to, on one special day, just give to their something they're passionate about in the nonprofit that's important to them. So we hope that, you know, folks will consider going on and supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona on this special day.
Is there a certain amount that is encouraged to give, or can any amount be welcomed, Randy?
Well, any amount's encouraged. To have it count in the contest and use the online portal, it
right.
just has to be $10 or more.
Okay.
And currently we've had over 200 individuals go. The average donation's been right around about $80 or $85. But again, $10 here, $20 there, $100 here. And actually, Bill, if you'll allow me to,
sure.
we have a matching challenge just for listeners of your show.
Oh, great.
Diane and I were leaving campus to head over, a contributor said, I love Bill's show. I never miss it.
Oh, isn't
and
that nice?
Offered to put up $500
wow.
to the Humane Society if your listeners collectively can help us raise $500 here before 1 o'clock.
Oh, that is terrific.
Let's
so
have a drum roll.
I'm going to watch the numbers roll in here on my phone, but it's azgives.org /HSSAZ.
Okay.
Get you to our donation page. We're currently second most donations in the state of Arizona. So
wow.
with a push from your listeners, we might be able to take first place and beat one of those Phoenix nonprofits.
So one of the Phoenix nonprofits
yes.
is in number one now. So let's see if we can get that going again. And again, the where people should donate or
it's
how they do
azgives.org/HSSAZ or you can go to our website and just click the big blue Donate Now button.
And the funds raised, Diana, right now are very important to what you all have going on at the Humane Society.
Yes, yes. Well, the funds raised go to help the Humane Society of Southern Arizona with our programs and services. We depend on the generosity of our community. So we get no government funding, no national funding. So everything that we do for the animals in our care and for those who love them is all based on the funds that we're able to raise throughout the year.
How is the fundraising going for the new facility?
Well, that's going very well, is very good as mm-hmm. well. Right now, we are at $7.4 million, mm-hmm. and so we're on a $10 million goal. The construction is on target, on timeline, so we hope that we're going to be able to move to our new home at 635 West Roger Road by the end of the year or early January.
And Randy, the Humane Society has been in its current quarters and location, it seems like, forever.
Well, in my sense, yes, it has been forever. But since 1944, we actually have
an
Army surplus Quonset hut that we use on the current facilities.
Yeah.
And that will not be going with us to the new campus.
No. But where will the new campus be? What's the venue going to be?
It's going to be at, as I said, 635 mm-hmm. West Roger Road, which is just about three blocks west of the intersection of Roger and Oracle.
Okay. So Roger and Oracle in that area, and it's going to be on a couple-acre site or something?
It's about 5 acres, just a little under 5 acres, which is a couple more acres than what we're on right now. But the beauty of the campus is we're all going to be together. We're going to be so much more efficient, and we won't be spread out in different modular units as we are today.
And there'll be a place for people to get to know the animal they want to adopt.
Yeah, it'll really take the adoption process to the next level, a much friendlier environment and more opportunities for the animals to interact. We, of course, always encourage families to bring their existing pets with them if they're considering adding to their forever and furry families. And this will certainly allow more opportunity for that. I do want to mention as well with Arizona Gives Day today that people can use the comment section. So if they've been thinking about making a capital campaign donation, just put the word capital or building fund or good luck on your new home or whatever
right.
they want on the comments
right.
line, and we'll be sure to designate that toward that fundraising campaign.
How are we doing now with the adoption rate, Randy and Diana? How are things going?
Our adoption rate is, we have a 97% adoption rate. So
okay.
that means that 97% of the animals who come into our care, we find their forever home. So currently we have about 500 animals in our care, and that includes those that are out in foster care because we get some babies in that, you know, they need a little bit more time, or we get some seniors that maybe need to have some special attention. But, you know, we're coming into that season, Bill, where we're going to see a lot of puppies and kittens coming
in. It's the baby season.
It's the baby season. So we anticipate in the next couple of months that our numbers are going to really jump. Last year in July, we were up to 800 animals.
Mm. So, Randy, again, give us the website for the Buckmaster Show listeners.
Well, first off, we want to congratulate and thank the two people that have already come in since I made that announcement just a few minutes ago.
Thank you very much.
And, again, a donor matching up to $500 total here by the top of the hour. It's azgives.org/HSSAZ, or they can go to our website at hssaz.org and just click the blue Donate Now button at the top of the page.
All right, Buckmaster Show listeners and people who listen to me regularly know I love animals and am a very big animal welfare advocate in this community. So if someone would like to donate right now, it would be a perfect time on Arizona Gives Day. Last year, how did you do? Do you think you're going to be able to surpass what you did last year, Randy?
Last year, we raised about $71,000.
We
also
terrific.
Won a prize of another $7,000 on top of that. One of the things that motivates the nonprofits on a day like this are the corporate sponsorship prizes. So there's mm-hmm. $175,000 to be won by various nonprofits, and we're going to compete to try to win a $10,000 prize this year. Right now, as we mentioned, the Phoenix nonprofit is ahead of us. And right behind us on our heels, we've got another local Tucson nonprofit. And the top three groups all win $10,000 prizes. So We'd love to have Tucson claim two of those three slots, and your listeners can help make it happen.
And again, if you want to, there is a comment there. If you want to donate toward the
Capital campaign. Or anywhere else that folks want us to put the money. We have a match actually going on right now as well for our education fund.
Mm-hmm.
So if folks want to put a donation there, we
have a second chance.
We have generous donors that are matching every gift to those funds.
The second chance?
Second chance is our medical fund
where
we treat extraordinary animals that come in who maybe 5 or 10 years ago wouldn't have had a chance to get back out into a forever home. But now if it's a broken leg or a dental issue or long-term eyes, ears, often problems, we can actually treat those and provide additional care.
And don't forget our senior animals. I love the older animals.
Absolutely. Aren't they wonderful?
I'm always attracted to them.
I know.
They're just waiting there. I've got some good years.
Absolutely.
I currently have a 12-year-old cat in my office.
There you go. I'm going to have to wrap it up. But again, I want to throw it over to Randy Peterson for the website and the information.
azgives.org/HSSAZ. On that $500 challenge, looks like we raised about $140 already.
Very good.
Of the hour.
And it would be going on right up until 1 o'clock here as we are on the air. So please make the donation. Diana Cannon, thank you very much. And Randy Peterson.
Good to see you again.
Great to see both of you. We'll be right back with our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Update with Margaret Regan. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, Fox Tucson Theater, in celebration of our 87th birthday. Fox Tucson Theater presenting the cinematic treasure, The Sound of Music, Sunday, April the 9th at 2 in the afternoon. Going to be a great event, and there's going to be a free birthday cake for all the attendees, and all members of the Fox Tucson Theater and children 12 and under will enjoy free admission. Then, coming up on April 17th, the Fox presents Taj Express. This is going to be a great show. Music, dance, 2,000 sparkling costumes, lavish set designs, live musicians playing traditional Indian instruments, and a cocktail party before the Taj Express show at the Fox will benefit Angel Charity for Children, their 2017 charities. For more information and to purchase tickets to see The Sound of Music on Sunday, April 9th, Taj Express, April 17th, and the Doo-Wop Project, Friday, April 28th, visit foxtucson.com. Let's go now on the live line to longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan. She is the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, the most recent, which has done very well for her, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. I'm just back from Dubuque, Iowa.
What?
Yes. I was invited up to Dubuque, Iowa by several orders of nuns to do presentations about my book, Detained and Deported. And they kept me very busy over 3 days, giving 4 lectures, a couple of radio shows, and I met lots of really interesting people working on issues around immigration. And I got a glimpse of the mighty Mississippi, which was very fun.
Oh, that must have been a great trip. And, of course, yeah. People have such a different view, don't they, in other parts of our country on the border than we do.
Yeah, well, of course, these are people that were, feeling compassion towards
yes.
the immigrants. But as I learned, as you know, Iowa is a big agricultural state. And they have many, many immigrants working on all those corn farms up there. And there are a lot of feedlots. You know, Iowa was the site of the second biggest immigration raid in U.S. history in Postville 9 years ago. So there are quite a lot of people seeing the danger of deportation of all the immigrants that we have here.
You wrote about an excellent exhibition, a photographic exhibition about the Japanese internment, which began in 1942, 75 years ago today. That is over at the Tucson Desert Art Museum on Tancredi. Interesting show.
Yeah, you know, Bill, I cannot praise this show too highly. I have never been to the Tucson Desert Art Museum before. It's a few years old at this point. This show is so well done, so well conceived and installed so beautifully, and I learned so much. It's about, as you say, the Japanese internment, and I learned a lot of things I didn't know. There were something like 117,000 people interned for several years from shortly after the bombing at Pearl Harbor until the war was over. That's three to 4 years. And 2/3 of these people were American citizens.
I know.
Flat out American citizens. They were rounded up, branded as dangerous security risks and put into these detention centers. Well, what we were calling them were camps.
They were really horrible barracks, not really fit for human habitation. It's really a shocking story. And, you know, everyone went along with it, the Supreme Court, President FDR, who openly called them concentration camps, I was shocked to learn.
Hmm.
I guess that particular term didn't quite have the sting that it would after World War II when we learned what the Nazis had been up to with their concentration camps. But one of the things that's really interesting from the point of view of photography is that Dorothea Lange, the famous photographer of the Dust Bowl refugees, you know, she's very well known for that photo called Migrant Mother of, you know, the Okies,
oh, yes,
were desperately poor after the Dust Bowl.
Iconic photograph of the Depression.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So she was working for the U.S. government. They hired a lot of photographers, the Farm Security Administration. She was hired again during World War II to document the Japanese internment, as they called it. But incarceration is really a better word. So these are all open to the public. You know, they're in the National Archives. But what we learn is that her photos of these families, and many of their of these photos are in the show, about 50 of them, were too sympathetic in the eyes of the government, so they suppressed them. They didn't display them as they had intended. They had intended the photos to show what a nice thing the internment was and how well everyone was doing, and instead she made these photos, wrenching photos of families with their suitcases being taken away from their homes. And then a contemporary photographer who is the grandson of some detainees, his name is Paul Kitagaki, Jr. He got a hold of these Dorothea Lange photos and set out to find either the people in the photos, who are now, of course, quite elderly if they're still alive, or their descendants. And then he did interviews with these people. So we have the then and now photos with an oral history of what happened to the particular families. So it's just, it's wonderful. One story I'll just tell really fast, a little girl who we ran her picture in the weekly, filmed by Dorothea Lange, just 7 years old, being taken to the camps. No clue what was going on. She was all dressed up in her Sunday best. She tells in her old age now, when Kitagaki found her, the family came back after the war. The father had had a landscape business, and they owned their own home. He had entrusted both of those properties to a friend, a businessman, came back from the war only to discover that the man had sold all his possessions and he had no way to get the money back. And he lived the rest of his life as a, you know, low-paid gardener and totally embittered and sad about what had happened in his life.
Wow. The Tucson Desert Art Museum, they do a great job. They were a one-time sponsor here on the program over on Tankaverde. That show is up through April. It's an interesting little museum over there.
Oh, it's great. Mm-hmm. I just had no idea. It's a very big property, surprisingly.
Yeah.
I thought it would be small.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a big show up right now on Navajo weavings, which is nice. And then they have permanent collections, too. But I was just really impressed about how well everything there was done.
All right. I want to do a quick shout out to the one of the home artists' home studio tour. That one is coming up this weekend, right, Margaret?
Yeah. We've been having a lot of art studio tours right now. What has happened is that artists have sort of rebelled against the big generic ones, and artists living in certain parts of town have organized their own home studio tours. And one of them is this weekend. It's called The Heart of Tucson Art. You can find all the info at heartoftucsonart.org. And that's the center part of town. And one of the joys of these smaller artist studio tours is that they're all within driving distance of each other. This is, you know, pretty much midtown in Tucson. A surprisingly large number, dozens of artists will be opening their homes and gardens this time of year. And inviting people in to see the art and have refreshments. They're really very fun events.
All right, Margaret Regan, I'm out of time, but I do want to have people look at your story this week about a Tucson artist on a shooting death of a young Nogales boy.
Right, yeah, that's a case that's been kicking around for 4.5 years now. A Border Patrol agent is charged with second-degree murder in the shooting of a young boy. It's all agreed on the facts of the matter that he stuck his gun through the poles of the border wall and shot the boy.
Mm.
He is, of course, has pled innocent and says his life was in danger, and that's why he shot the boy.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll look for that. Margaret Regan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown. The big celebration for the 87th birthday is coming up on April the 9th, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The movie The Sound of Music, there's going to be free cake. It's going to be a big event. Then Taj Express, that's Indian music spectacular, April 17th at the Fox. And I do want to do a shout-out to the Angel Charities for Children 2017 charities. There'll be a cocktail party before the Taj Express show with the benefiting the Angel Charity. So there's a lot going on at the Fox. For more information and to purchase tickets to see the classic film, The Sound of Music, Sunday, April 9th, Taj Express on April 17th, and don't forget, The Doo-Wop Project, Friday, April 29th. Excuse me, April 28th, Friday the 28th. Visit foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw, Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster. I'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.